Today's Shir's Masech de Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chavav. We will begin on Daf Kuf Chav Beis, Amid Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. When we learned in our Mishnah, we spoke about a Pekach Chaloyim, we spoke about shuttering a window, we mentioned the Machloikus of Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi actually explained that our Mishnah is not really speaking about a window, our Mishnah is speaking about a skylight. Tosfos says that our Mishnah is speaking even about a window. And we learned the Machlokes, the Rebbe Elazar's opinion is that you could only put back that shutter if it's tied there from before Shabbos and it's also suspended in the air. So when you have all of those conditions met, it doesn't look like you're adding, like you're doing binyan on Shabbos. The Chachamim were more lenient. Amar Rabba Babachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakamoidim, everybody agrees, Shein Oisin Oil Arai Betchil B'Yontif. That one may not make even an oil Arai on Yontif. Vein Tzarch Loimer, and certainly it may not be done in Shabbos. Le'nachaku, the Machloikis Ela L'Hoisif, if one can add onto an existing oil Arai. Shabbalazah Oimer, Shabbalazah's opinion is, Eim Sifim B'Yontif, then one may not add to even an existing oil arai on Yontif. And that's why he's being so strict on Mishnah. Ve'en tzarech loimer b'Shabbos, and certainly that's his opinion on Shabbos. V'cham ma'imrim, and the Chama hold, ma'isifim b'Shabbos, if it's already an existing oil arai, so adding to it is not considered significant. And therefore, ma'isifim b'Shabbos, we could do so on Shabbos, and certainly b'Yontif. And as the Chassam Sofer explains, why would we think there's a difference between Shabbos and Yontif that the Gemara keeps on stressing that there isn't? So Chassam Sofer explains that on Yontif, based on a Gemara we've learned in Am Masechta, binyan is permitted. Because we learned that in the production of cheese involves binyan, involves making the cheese, taking the curds and squeezing them together, we learned as binyan. But on Yontif, oichel nefesh is mutter. And we also discussed recently that Beis Hillel's opinion, and that's the way we paskin, b'toch shehutra l'tzayruch, hutra nami shaloi l'tzayruch. Once something became mutter for tzayruch oichel nefesh, according to Beis Hillel, there's a tzayruch to do it on Yontif, it's even if it's not l'tzayruch oichel nefesh, it may be done. So therefore, since we see that under certain circumstances, binyan was mutter on Yontif, and therefore all binyan is mutter l'tzayrich, we would think that we could be more lenient in the halachas that are discussed in our Mishnah, our Gemara. That's why, explains the Chassam Sofer, our Gemara had to go out of its way to teach us that as far as these halachas are concerned, the halacha is that it's asur. The Shas HaTshuvas Mishpatei Uziel, however, says that we have to understand what is considered a maisa of being maisa of oil al rai. Because as we discussed in our previous year, it's only considered osur when you're accomplishing something. The example we gave in our previous year is when you're constructing a wall to your sukkah that makes the sukkah into a kosher sukkah. But for example, he says if you have window shades or curtains or any of those types of treatments, or you have a curtain in front of your door, opening and closing that window shade is permitted. You really haven't accomplished anything. The Mishnah Brura in Siman Shin Yud Gimel Sif Katan Aleph discusses that the halacha is that if you're closing up a house, that the tumah should not be able to penetrate in the house, then it's asur, because again, the way we're learning, you're accomplishing something. But he says, let's say you close the window because you're concerned that that may happen. And if that will happen, you'll have a problem of tumah in the house. Since at this point there is no tumah that you're closing it for, it's not considered a mechitza hamateris. The Magen Avraham takes it a step further. He says that even if you close it after the mace is in the house, so what's ever in the house is not susceptible to tumah. And whatever you're closing hasn't come to that situation, and therefore he's more lenient. The question also comes, based on this Gemara, what would be the halacha if Chas V'Shalom on Yontif, your schach fell off? And the question is, if your schach falls off, are you allowed to replace it on Yontif? So the Prima Gadim says, if you have enough schach on your roof of your sukkah, that your sukkah is still a kosher sukkah, so you're not accomplishing anything by adding more schach, then it's permitted. But if it's not a kosher sukkah, that by putting the schach on, you're making it into the sukkah, into a kosher sukkah, then, says the Mishnah Brura and the Shal Shul Shal Meshiv and Reb Shlomo Zalman, I saw all are of the opinion that that certainly would be usur. It could be that the Bikurei Yaakov says that if through an akum, it would be mutter to even add schach, to put schach on the roof of your sukkah that isn't a kosher sukkah. But a Jew may not do so if he's making it into a kosher sukkah by doing that on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make an oil on Shabbos. However, being moisif is mutter. And that's where the question comes up regarding opening up an awning, particularly comes up by sukkahs. The halacha is if your awning is somewhat open already and you're just going to add to that, then as long as it's open, the amount of a tefach, then the halacha is that's not considered that you made an oil, and that would be mutter. So we had in the Mishnah that, as we said, Reb Elezer's opinion on our Mishnah is quite clear. Reb Elezer's opinion on our Mishnah is that in order to be able to shudder with this pekak, you have to have that it was already tied there before Shabbos and it was suspended before Shabbos. When both of those conditions are met, Reb Elezer is lenient. The Chachamim, however, we need to understand the Chachamim. The Chachamim's wording on the Mishnah were benkach u benkach poikikimboi. And now ask the Gemara, ma benkach u benkach? What is the definition of benkach u benkach? Is doesn't mean that whether it's tied or not tied, or does it mean that whether it's suspended or not suspended? Is the opinion of the Chachamim that even if it's not tied, it's mutter to shudder with it? Or is the opinion of the Chachamim that tied you certainly have to have, but their only leniency is that, we, as Reb Elezer says, the tying alone is inadequate. And besides that, you have to have it tied, you also have to have it not dragging on the floor. It has to be suspended off the floor. And the Rabbanan will hold that if it's tied, that is enough. And again, we're going to learn the Gemara, like Rashi, that the question is, at what point are the Chachamim concerned that it looks like binyan, and at what point the Rabbanan are no longer concerned that it looks like binyan? Amar of Abba, Amar of Kahana, Ben Kosher, Ben Sheinu Kosher. The Rabbanan's opinion is, it doesn't make a difference if it's tied or not. For Hushu Masukin, as long as it was prepared from before Shabbos, that it should be used as a window shutter or a skylight shutter, that is enough. And here is an interesting machloikus rishonim. When we say v'huush mesukim esmoil, what does that mean? So Tosfos says that you don't even have to have that you actually did something with the shutter. As long as you had a machshava that you want to use this for a shutter, it's adequate. And that's the opinion of the Rashba and the Ritva. There are other Rishonim that disagree. And they say, the Ran, that says that in order to make a shutter, to be considered a shutter, that it should not be considered a problem of binyan, you have to have used it previously for a shutter. That just deciding that you want to use it for a shutter would not be enough. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah. So says Rabbi Yirmiyah to Rav Abba, V'lei Memar, why are you taking the lenient approach? Why don't you take the more stringent approach? And why don't you say, Bein Toli Ben Shantali. Yes, the Rabbanan are more lenient than Rabbi Lezer. What will their leniency mean? That they're going to hold that even if it's not suspended, even if it's dragging on the floor, it's still considered, there's no problem. However, they're going to agree, kosher, that it has to be tied to the ground. If it's not tied there, it looks very much like a Maisa Binyan. Domer Rabba Bechana, and he brings a raya. Rav Yirmiya wants to bring a raya that everybody will agree that tying is absolutely necessary, because he says, Omer Rabbi Yochanan teaches us, k'machloikas kan, the same machloikas that we had in our Mishnah regarding the kach chaloin, kach machloikas, you have a sima machloikas benagra harnigra. That was it's a case of a door bolt that's attached to the ground. And the issue is, it's tied to the door. And the question there is also, does it have to be tied to the ground and also not suspended off the ground? The Tanan, the Mishnah Masech the Ervin, Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph teaches us, Nagra HaNigra, a door bolt that's dragging on the ground, Noyalim by B'Migdash, we could use such a lock within the Beis HaMigdash, because in the Beis HaMigdash, we have a rule, Ein Shvus B'Migdash, so we could be more lenient, that even though it's an Issa D'Rabbanon, of looks like, that's a Binyan D'Rabbanon, but in the Beis HaMigdash, Ein Shvus B'Migdash, so we'll be more lenient, Avloi B'Medina, outside the Beis HaMigdash, we can't be lenient. V'amunach, but if it's on the ground, Kavakan, both in the Beis HaMigdash and outside the Beis HaMigdash, the halacha is that it's Osir. And it's interesting to point out that even when it's on the ground, it's not Binyan D'Oraisa. And if we just said, Ein Shvus B'Migdash, so what's the difference if it's suspended or not? It should always be Mutter in the Beis HaMigdash. So the Rishonim say, from here we see, that even when we say, Ein Shvus B'Migdash, then we don't apply that rule in all circumstances. And therefore, when it's suspended and tied, so it doesn't look really very much like a derabbanon. When it's tied, even though it's not suspended, and it's in the Beis HaMikdash, we can be lenient. Otherwise, even in the Beis HaMikdash, we can't be lenient. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hamunach B'Mikdash, one that's not attached, but on the ground, is Mutter in the Beis HaMikdash. V'Nagar B'Dina. And outside the Beis HaMikdash, even the one that drags on the ground is Mutter, even in the Beis HaMikdash, as long as it's tied. The Tanya, and the Braisa, in trying to explain that Mishnah, says, Eze Naga Nigrar, what is the case of the Nagar, Shinoilim by Migdash of Leim Medina, the bolt that could be used in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash? Kol Shekoshu V'Toloi, if it's tied there, v'roish magil aretz, and it reaches the ground. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, zeh, when it's tied and reaches the ground, apa medina mutter. I don't have to say it's the Beis HaMikdash. Even outside the Beis HaMikdash, that would be mutter. El ezeh zeh shebe medina asur. What is the case where in the medina it's asur? Kosh ain't a loy kosh of a loy toli. It's not attached to the door. It's not suspended. V'shamtai u'manich v'karen zavis, and it's put in the corner after you used it. V'am Rabbi Shua ben Abba Mishmeid Ula. Man Tana, who is the Tanakama that says over there, Masech the Ervin, that a bolt that's attached to the ground but drags on the ground can't be used outside the Beis HaMikdash? Rabbi Lezer, it reflects the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, who said in our Mishnah as well, by the Bekak, that it can't be used unless it's tied and suspended in the air. So obviously, Rabbi Lezer over there, who's the Tanakhama, Rabbi Lezer and our Mishnah, and the Tanakhama of that Mishnah, Masech Ervin, who are one and the same opinion, hold that way. Our Mishnah is going to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Racham and our Mishnah are going to be Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda over there just told us that in order for a bolt to be allowed to be used, it has to be attached to the door. Similarly,
In our Mishnah, it'll seem that the opinion of Chachamim is that it has to be attached to the building, and that's when you could use the Pekak Chaloim. So when we started the shir saying that the interpretation, Rabbi Yirmiyah says to Rabbi Abba, how could you therefore attempt to interpret our Mishnah as saying that according to Chachamim, not only doesn't have to be suspended, not only may it be suspended from the ground, but doesn't even have to be attached. Well, we see that that Mishnah, in Masechta Erevin, which is mirroring our Mishnah, says it does have to be attached. Amalei, so says Rav Abba, another Amrika Haytanya. My interpretation of our Mishnah is following this Tana. The Tanya, there's a Brisa that teaches us, Kona Shaskinu Balabayas, a rod that a Balabayas prepared, Lios Pesach for Noelba, to use for locking and unlocking the doors. Bezman Shekosher Toli B'Pesach, when it's attached to the wall and suspended, Pesach for Noelba, it can be used. Ein Kosher Toli, but if it's not attached and suspended, Ein Pesach for Noelba. Clearly, the opinion of Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Mesukin, as long as it was prepared for that purpose, it doesn't need to be tied. So we clearly see here the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, whose opinion is that it doesn't need to be tied, it doesn't need to be suspended, it's always mutter. So in other words, we have three opinions. We have the opinion of Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah, which is also the opinion of the Tanna Kamma in the Mishnah Masechet Erevin, that you need that should be tied and suspended. We have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that you need that it should be tied, but it doesn't need to be suspended. And now we have the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, that you don't need that it should be tied nor suspended, as long as you intended to have it used for that purpose, that is adequate. And now Rav Abba is saying that the opinion of our Mishnah is going according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Others, Rabbi Yirmiyah is obviously going to say that the Chacham of our Mishnah followed the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that even though they don't need that it should be suspended off the ground, they do need it should be attached to the ground. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bashelus, Amar Vasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Halacha actually follows the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, and as long as it was prepared for that purpose from before Shabbos, it's fine. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, is that indeed the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan? But tonight, we're going to learn a Mishnah in a few minutes. The Mishnah teaches us, Kol Kisui HaKelim, all coverings of Kelim, Sheyesh Lam Beis Achiza, if they have handles, Nitalim B'Shabbos, they can be taken in Shabbos. V'Amar Rav Yehuda B'Ashelo, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, V'Hu Sheyesh Toras Kli Aleihem. The covers can function as utensils, only if they have, they can be used. If they can't be used, then they remain muksa. So we see that he considers this muksa. So how can we say that he follows the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, who says that you can use a rod to lock a door just because you designate it? He holds that just by designating something, it doesn't mean that it's not muksa. V'chi tema, if you're going to say that the stick that Rav Shimon Gamliel is referring to is talking about a stick, Hachanami, this Taurus Kali Alav, that it's a usable stick, and that's why there's no problem. Vatanya, but says the Gemara, Mi boy Rav Shimon Gamliel Taurus Kali Alav, is that true that Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to hold that it needs to be usable, not to be muksa? Vatanya, the Brisa taught us, Shcharoya Shoget Dekel, you have hardened branches of a palm tree, Shagodron L'Shem Eitzim, that were harvested to be used for firewood, V'nimla Chaleim L'Yeshiva, and then somebody decided to use them for sitting, Tzorach Likshar. It's not enough that you should make that decision. You have to actually do a Maisa. You have to do a Maisa of Kshira that they should not be considered Muksa. Shem Gamliel Oimer, ain't Tzorach Likshar. You don't have to tie them. Your mere designation is enough that it should not be Muksa. So obviously, when Shimon Gamliel says you could use the rod for locking a door, he's talking about a rod that you just designated for that use on Shabbos, but doesn't really have Torah's Kli, doesn't function as a Keli. So how can we say Rabbi Yochanan passing is like Shimon Gamliel? answers the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Sferlei Kavasei Bechada. He agrees with Reb Shimon Gamliel as far as the halacha, that even if it's not attached, and even if it's dragged, even if it's dragging on the floor, it could be used on the window, poking chaloyim, it could be used under all circumstances. However, that doesn't mean he agrees with him in Hilchas Muksa. Apologai Bechada, he disagrees with him in Hilchas Muksa. Whereas, Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is going to be that mere designation alone is enough that something should no longer be considered Muksa. Rav Yochanan is going to hold that if something doesn't have on it a Tyrus Kaili, mere designation alone is inadequate. You have to do something to make it that it shouldn't be Muksa. Says the Gemara Darsh Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, a Pisca Deresh Galusa, Halacha Kerbelezer. The halacha is like Kerbelezer, and you have to, in order to avoid the problem of binyan, it has to be attached and suspended from the ground. That's how he paskin. Masiv, Rav Amram, ask Rav Amram, the Mishnah we're going to learn later in our Masechta. The Mishnah later in our Masechta discusses an entire situation where there was that they used a kli cheres to shutter a window on Shabbos, even though it wasn't attached from before Shabbos. And they tied it with a keshish enish l'kayama, and they used it to determine the size of a certain barrel regarding Hilchas Tumah. So we see, so says the Gemara, after learning that Mishnah, Medivreim Lamadnu, we learned, Shepaikikin, that we're allowed to put a shutter in the window, even if it's not tied, even if it's not suspended, or Maidadin, we're allowed to do Medida Shal Mitzvah, even though normally on Shabbos we're not allowed to measure. If it's a Medida Shal Mitzvah, it's permitted. That means if you want to check a mikvah on Shabbos, for example, if it's kosher, you're allowed to do so. The kosher b'Shabbos, and if you make a kesher, she'enik she'enik shel kayoma, that not only is it mutter, it's even mutter l'chatchila. But what do we see from here? That the halacha is not like Rebbe Lezer, and that you can put a pekak even if it's not tied, and even if it's not suspended. Amalei, said a biter of Amram, my daitach, what's the reason that you want to say that the halach is not like Rebbe Lezer? Mishum d'ktani stoma, because we just learned a stam mishnah that says like Rebbe Lezer. And since we have a stam mishnah that follows that opinion, that's why we should, we have a stam mishnah and the pasuk is like the chum, and you want to be mekel. But as the Gemara, Nagra Hanigra, the mishnah in Masechta Erevin that we just quoted, is also stama, is also stam mishnah, which follows the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. So why are you following the stam mishnah Masechta Shabbos, which seems to point in the direction of the Chachamim, and not follow the stam mishnah Masechta Erevin, which points in the direction of Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov? Says the Gemara, even though we have indeed a stam mishnah like Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov, he felt that we should follow the opinion of the Chachamim, Maaser Rav, because the mishnah there isn't just a mishnah; it's telling us a Maaser Rav that Rav Amram paskin that way. And whenever you have something that was paskin that way, that is much stronger of something to follow. In fact, the Tshuvas Maril in Simon Ayin Beis says that when you have a question in halacha, if you have a psak in a shailos a tshuva sefer that where that psak was used la halacha lemaisa, that is something that we should always follow. However, that the Magen Mishnah says that when our Gemara teaches us, and the Maril followed that up, is that we go after Maaser Rav, that's only when the Maaser Rav teaches us a kula, when it comes up with a leniency. When the Maaser Rav teaches us a chumra, that isn't necessarily indicative that that's the halacha. It could be that they just did that because they weren't sure what to do, so they were machmer. So only a kula, for a kula, we say Maaser Rav, not for a chumra. And the Steichemid actually quotes the Bircha Yosef the same way that we rely on a Maaser Rav only for kula, not for chumra. Says the Mishnah, kisei hakelim sheyesh lo beis achizei. If you have a handle around a keli that has, you have a cover of a keli that has a handle, then nitolim b'Shabbos. Those candles can be moved in Shabbos. Amar Rav Yosef b'madva b'murim b'kisei kakos. When it talks about something on the ground, the cover of a pit, or etc. Avil b'kisei hakelim. When we're talking about the cover of a keli, benkach or benkach, whether it has a handle or doesn't have a handle, nitolim b'Shabbos, they may be moved in Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda b'Sheila, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, v'ushi yesh toros keli aleihem. When we say that we can move a handle on Shabbos, even if it doesn't have a handle on it, that's only if it's usable. But if they're not usable, then of course the muksam. Says the Gemara, the kul alma, everybody agrees, b'kisuk akaris, covering of the ground, im yesh lam beis achiza, if they have a handle in, they may be moved, eloi, if they not, they may not move. Because if they don't have a handle, when you're opening it and closing it, it looks like binyan. Kisuk akalim, when we speak about the covering of a vessel, afagaf, it doesn't make a difference if it has a handle or not. You could put it back on Shabbos. There is no binyan there. Ki pligi, mekelim lechabrinu ba'ara. The machloikis is strictly by kelim that are attached to the ground. Mar sova gazrinan. Tanakama holds that if they have no handles, even though they're independent kelim, people are going to make the mistake and use them if they don't. If we will allow them to be used when they don't have a handle, people will also cover the ground with covers that don't have a handle. Where there we open up the shaila binyan or masover, and Rabbi Yosi holds loygazrinan lushdachrina, a different version. Keep ligi b'kisui taner. The machloikis was regarding an oven which is attached to the ground. The Tanakhama says that an oven, since it's attached to the ground, is considered like karka, and anything that's karka has to have a handle on the kisui to be able to put it on and off. Well, Masava, Rabbi Yossi holds, it's not like the cover of, even though the oven is attached to the ground, it's still a keli, and therefore it doesn't have to have a handle. And as the Rishonim point out, there are many times in Shas when we have two Lashonis, the two Lashonis actually represent different opinions. Here the two Lashonis aren't arguing. They're expressing the same halacha, just differently. There's a very interesting shaila that the Paiskim discuss. This question particularly comes up in Israel, where they have, in the middle of the room, a drain. And the question is, could you open, take off, and you want to clean the floor on Shabbos in a permissible way, obviously, and you want to clean the floor, are you allowed to open and close the drain? So the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Yud Gimel Sifkat Nechav Ches says that something that's always opened and closed, then there's no chashash binyan. And therefore, even though the Mishnah Berurah is not speaking specifically about that case, since the people who have those types of drains in their homes are obviously always opening and closing them, so according to the Mishnah Berurah, there would be no problem, it seems, say the Paiskim, to open and close it even if it doesn't have a handle. The Shmira Shabbos Kilchosoi is not ready to be lenient, and he says that it could only be used based on what we just learned in our Gemara. It's in the Karka, it has to have a handle. I saw that there are Paiskim that make the following distinction. They say, if it's in a place where, if it's a drain that's always open and closed, I guess the drains in people's homes, in those homes, are always open and closed, so there wouldn't be a necessity for it to have a handle. But if it's the type of drain, a drain that you would have outside in your backyard, in your driveway, which is not necessarily open and closed on a very regular basis, there everybody would agree that for it to be considered, for it to be able to open it up and close it on Shabbos, on Yontif, it would have to have a handle. Hanulach kol hakelim, hanulach kol hakelim, hanulach kol hakelim. We begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the next parak Mefanim. So, included in Shabbos, included in discussing Hilchos Shabbos, is a discussion of Uvda D'chol. On Shabbos, Chazal didn't want us to exert ourselves. The Torah Kedosha says, "Ubiyoyim Hashvi Tishbois." Shabbos is a day of rest. Others say the pasuk that we learned previously, "V'kros l'Shabbos Einig." Shabbos is a day of enjoyment, and since Shabbos has these requirements, it's inappropriate to spend our Shabbos doing things that look weekdayish, and therefore there are many. That's in the category of Uvdin D'chol. And the question, therefore, is different activities, the Mishnah, Gemara, Mitzvah Shem will discuss, are mutar or asur because of this on Shabbos. So says the Mishnah, Mefana afil arba v'chomish kupis shaltev v'shaltfuah. We're allowed to clear away on the Shabbos even four or five boxes of straw or grain. V'mnei orchim, because you have guests and you need to have room for your guest. V'mnei bitl beis ha-medrash, or for the need to have room to give a shear. Avloy es ha'oitzer. We're not allowed to clear out the warehouse. When we speak about guests, so the heter is because of achnosis orchim. So the Ramah in Simon Shin Lamed Gimel Sif Aleph says that achnosis orchim is only in a case where these people are staying in your home, they're staying by you, and you have to feed them. But if you just invite guests for a meal, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a sudas mitzvah, and it seems that according to the Ramah, that may not be a case that the Mishnah says that you could be makel. The Magen Avraham says that any time somebody invites a guest, when you invite a guest to your home, so you're mekayim a mitzvah. And since you're mekayim a mitzvah by inviting this guest to your home, that automatically makes that it should be considered a suda, that you did a mitzvah, even if the suda is not a suda's mitzvah, but you've performed the mitzvah by inviting this guest, and that's included in the het of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Mnei bitl beis hamidash." What does that mean? So the Achronim say that it's only a situation where there won't be a place to learn unless you clear this area out. But if there's another option where you could learn, then there's no heter. And the Achronim distinguish between, differentiate between the case of Orchim and the case of Bittel Beis HaMedrash. By Orchim, you could also make an argument. You don't have room in your home for the guest, so let the guest eat elsewhere. That isn't the halacha. The halacha is when it comes to guests, it's your mitzvah, and therefore if you need the room, you're allowed to clear it out on behalf of the guest. By Beis HaMedrash, and I think the understanding is as follows. Since the people who are intending to learn are going to learn no matter what, so as long as they have a place where they can learn, even if it's not here, they could learn, and therefore you could only clear it out if you have no other option. However, I did see that the Ben Yayoda says a little different. He says that the Mishnah says Bnei Bittel Beis HaMedrash, but not Bnei Bittel Talmidim. Whenever there's a concern, says the Ben Yayoda, for Talmidim, that your Talmidim should be able to learn, so then we're always lenient. Because it's our obligation that the Talmidim should always be able to learn. It's only in a case of Bittel Beis HaMedrash, where it's not your Talmidim, there's somebody who wants to give a shir, somebody who wants to give a lecture, so there we look. If there's another place available, so then do it elsewhere. If there's nowhere else available, then we're allowed to clear out the area. Says the Mishnah, what are we allowed to clear out? Mefanim Truma Tahira. We're allowed to clear out Truma Tahira. And we're speaking here the way Rashi seems to understand, that this truma is raw grain. So raw grain is something that people don't eat, but animals eat. And the halacha is that you're allowed to give that grain to the to the animal owned by a kohen to eat, and therefore it's not muksa because it's good for animal food. And the chiddush is that even though if you would wait till after Shabbos, you could cook and bake that grain, and the kohen himself could eat it, it's not considered hefsed truma. It's not considered hefsed truma because you're allowed to serve that food to the animal of a kohen lechatchila. Furthermore, where the Mishnah is emphasizing that this is only by truma tahira. Truma tameya is muksa, because the Torah Kedoshah says that what are you supposed to do with truma tameya? Ba'esh yisarif. It has to be burnt. The Torah teaches us that truma tameya has to be burnt, and it can't even be fed to your animal, to the animal of a kohen. And therefore, since the only thing that can be done is burning, and obviously on Shabbos you can't burn it, so therefore it becomes muksa. Demai, we know what halacha is, that there was a gzeiros chazal, that whenever somebody bought produce for an amaretz, he has to take off his own trumas and maestras, because we were concerned that they didn't take off the trumas and maestras properly. And that's why it's called demai. And the halacha is that, as we're going to learn, that under certain circumstances, we may eat the mai, or feed the mai to certain people, and therefore it's not considered muksa. Maisa rishon shenitla trumasai. The halacha is that when somebody has produce, he gives truma to the kayin, and then he gives maisa rishon. After he removed the truma, which midaraisa there is no shear for truma. Chita achas, beteris is a kree. Even one kernel is adequate. Chazal told us that the shear is either a 40th, a 50th, a 60th. Generous people give a 40th. Average people give a 50th. Stingy people give a 60th. That's the truma. And now what you're left with, the first thing you have to do is take off meiser, 10%, and give it to the Levi. But the Levi has an obligation to take off Trumas Maisa. 10% of what he received, he has to give to the Kohen. So if you have Maisa Rishon that was given to the Levi, and the Levi took off the Trumas Maisa, so that's produce that certainly may be eaten, and that therefore could be cleared on Shabbos. Or Maisa Sheini v'Hegdash Niftu. The halacha is that in the first and the sixth, and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, we have to take off, after we take off the Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, the next 10%, and that has to be taken to Yerushalayim to be eaten. But the Torah says that if you don't want to carry the actual produce to Yerushalayim, you could be paided, you could redeem it. So the halacha is that if you redeemed the Maaser Sheni, or you redeemed Hegdish, so now you could eat him, and therefore they're not muksa. That turmis hayavish, dried turmis. Since dried turmis could be given, it was eaten, given to the animals, so therefore again it's not muksa. Avloi is a tevel. Tevel are produce from which trumas and maisris were not removed. Tevel stands for tavloi. This is not good. And since it's not good, you can't, it's muksa, it's not usable. V'loi ma'aserishin sh'loi nitl trumasai. Even if you gave the Levi his ma'aserishin, as long as the trumas ma'aser wasn't removed, it's prohibited to be eaten from and becomes muksa. V'loi ma'aser sheni v'hegdish sh'loi niftu. And ma'aser sheni and hegdish that weren't redeemed properly, the halacha is that you can't give it. And the halacha is that midrabanan, you can't be paida ma'aser sheni or hegdish on Shabbos. One reason is because it's nirka masakin. You're making them edible. Until you paida them, they may not be eaten. The ma'aser sheni may not be eaten. That's our shlaim. Others, Davni Neza, suggest that being paida ma'aser sheni or hegdish is in the category of mecha chamemka. Continues the Mishnah. You can't move luf. Luf is a type of bean that no one could eat, not even animals when they're not cooked. Veloyas achardol, not mustard. Rav Shimon Gamliel, mat beluf, ne shemachel arvin. that there were people that used to raise ravens, and ravens ate luf. Chavile kash, bundles of straw. The chavile ate some bundles of sticks. Chavile zardim, bundles of tender stick. Imeskina machel behema, if they were set aside to be used for animal food. And as the Rishonim point out, going back to what we discussed in our previous year, that Haktsa'a designation, mental designation, is adequate to be considered designation. So Meskina L'machel Behema Metatlan Hasan, they're no longer Muksa V'mlav, but if there was no designation, then Ein Metatlan Hasan, then they're considered that they're not going to be used for animal food, they're going to be used for firewood. If they're going to be used for firewood, they are Muksa. So ask the Gemara, Hashta Chamish Mefanim, the Mishnah says that you're allowed to move four or five baskets. So ask the Gemara, Hashta Chamish Mefanim, if we're allowed to move five baskets, Arba Meboye, is there a question that you're allowed to move four? And as the Rishonim point out, Tosfos actually mentioned this earlier in our Masechta, on Daf Samach Amabeis, the Vemaskal Hashta, that this question, the Gemara doesn't always ask. But here the Gemara chose to ask, Amar Rav Chisda, says Rav Chisda, because of course, if there's something that could be learned, we're not going to just say that the Mishnah said the words without any real meaning. Sarah of Chizda, our Mishnah is coming to teach us, Arba Mechamish. You could only, if you have five baskets, you could take out four of them. The Chamish could be taken out, Moitz or Godel, when you have a large warehouse. Amai, and what does the Mishnah mean, continues the Gemara, when it says, Avaloyas Oitzer, that you can't empty out something in the warehouse, says the Gemara, Shloyasch b'Oitzer Tchila. You're not allowed to take anything out of the warehouse. Kuzmani, whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? Says Rav Chisda, Rav Yehuda Yidosle Muksa. As we've discussed so many times in our Meshechta, that there's Machloikis Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. The Gemara says, Rav Shimon Lesle Muksa. Rav Shimon doesn't hold the Muksa. And of course, that doesn't mean that the Rav Shimon doesn't hold a muksa. There are a number of situations that Rav Shimon does hold of muksa. The question is, what is considered muksa? Rav Shimon's opinion is, as we learned earlier in Daf Mem Hei, is that groigers for tzmukim, something that was deliberately set aside, that's what Rav Shimon holds as muksa. But if it wasn't deliberately set aside, it will not be considered muksa. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, for something not to be muksa, you have to have designation that I intend to use it. It should be obvious that I intend to use it on Shabbos. So if I have produce in the warehouse, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's usable, and therefore it's not muksa. I didn't push them away. Rabbi Yehuda holds, but I didn't designate them. I put into my warehouse. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't in any way touch things in the warehouse because you made them into muksa. But Shmuel has a different interpretation of our Mishnah. He says, Abav Chamesh, Kedamri Inchi. Four or five is not meant to teach us any specific halacha. It's just like people talk. And actually says, Shmuel, V'boy afil tuvinam mifanim. You want, you could take out even more than that. And what does the Mishnah mean, according to Shmuel, when it said, Avaloyas Oitzer, Shlo Yigma Kulay? You shouldn't clear out the entire warehouse. Because if you're going to clear out the entire warehouse, there's a new concern. The concern is, Dilma Osi Lajvi Gumas. And there's a machlokes how to learn this. Some Rishonim learn that when you're going to see the entire floor of your warehouse entirely empty, and you'll see that it's not level, you may come on Shabbos to level it out. And leveling it out on Shabbos, of course, is Osir. Others say the actual act of emptying out your warehouse is considered as Shvuya Gumos. And even Rav Shimon that holds a Dovah Shein Meskavin is Mutter, this will not be considered Dovah Shein Meskavin. It's going to be considered a Psik Reisha. But according to this, everybody agrees to take produce out of the warehouse is permitted. Mani, whose opinion is that? Rav Shimon, the Lesle Muksa, and therefore, according to him, the produce in a warehouse is not considered Muksa, because it's good produce. And just because it's in the warehouse, is it not enough to make it to be considered Muksa? And therefore, even a warehouse, according to this, can be approached to take out the food on Shabbos in a permissible manner.